Okay, y'all, we'll start over again. Let's pray for Wayne right now, though. Father, we pray for our friend Wayne that everything is okay with him, and Father, that he's truly not injured, that Father, that he'll be okay, and Lord, just watch over him and take care of him, and Lord, we just thank you and in advance that this wasn't worse than it could have been. And Father, just watch over him tonight is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, back to Isaiah 53. We were talking about the fact that someone is coming. As we have watched the story unfold, it has become brighter, and his light has become brighter and brighter as we have walked through the book of Isaiah. It's hard to understand how anyone could not see Jesus in Isaiah chapter 53. Although we know that there were those who did not, namely the Jewish people. We talked about this just a couple of weeks ago, that they saw themselves as the suffering servant, not Jesus Christ. And the reason that they did this is because they were like so many people. They had taken verses and selected them and had fashioned their own idea of what the Messiah would be like, what he would do when he came. And their expectation was power and authority and overthrowing the Roman Empire, getting things back in order for the Jewish people. And when he did not do that, when that was not what Jesus Christ did, and when he did not meet their expectations, they did not receive him as the Messiah. And so we look at that and we're frustrated. It frustrates us because we see it here in Isaiah, and then hundreds of years later, we continue to see it even after Jesus is here, has been born, and is doing his earthly ministry. They still do not see Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So we are blessed in the fact that when we read a passage like Isaiah chapter 53, we don't question it. We don't think that it's about us. We don't think that it's about our Savior. It's not about us. It's not about us as a people. It is about Jesus Christ, and it is obvious that that is the case. So let's look at Isaiah 53, but let's back up to chapter 52 because it really starts right there. Look with me in verses 13 through 15 of chapter 52. The scripture says, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man, and his form did not resemble a human being. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will shut their mouths because of him, for they will see what had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard. This section of scripture describes really the remarkable impact of Jesus Christ. Before it talks to us about him personally, giving us a description of his ministry, he talks to us, Isaiah at the end of 52, talks to us about the impact that he would have upon mankind. He says, "Behold, my servant shall prosper." In other words, when my servant comes, he will be successful in what he is doing. There is absolutely no question about that. And so then he continues on in Isaiah chapter 53, and look at what he says. He says, "Who has believed what we have heard?" Or who, in your translation, it may say, "Who has believed our report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or splendor that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one people turned away, from. He was despised and we did not value him." These are the words that are felt by any person who comes to Jesus Christ, who remembers how lightly he regarded him when he first learned of him. You and I, even when we started learning about Jesus Christ, perhaps did not fully comprehend who he was. I know we didn't. I know we didn't fully comprehend who he was and all that he encompassed. Here the nation is asking who believed our report that we have heard. The arm of the Lord was revealed to us, but we did not understand who he was. And so we look back and see how he fulfilled these words. Isaiah tells us he grew up as a young plant. When we think about the years of the young plant, when we're thinking about Jesus, we go back to the years that he spent in Nazareth in the obscurity of the carpenter shop when no one knew who he was except his heavenly Father. This is a description of him being a root out of dry ground. Jesus didn't burst on the scene and announce who he was. The angels announced who he was, and there were those who believed him, but Jesus didn't come in great fanfare. He did not come and just overtake everybody telling them who he was. Jesus spent a season with his earthly parents growing up in a carpenter shop in virtual obscurity. Nobody was talking about Jesus being the Messiah. Nobody was talking about Jesus being the one that God had sent. And we see that we know that Isaiah, because we looked at it, had already predicted that a root would rise up from the stem of Jesse, from whom Joseph and Mary were both descended. And so we look at this and we see Jesus beginning to fulfill the royal line. The royal line had fallen on hard times, and it was a time when it was impoverished, and no one recognized his claims to leadership within Israel. So Jesus is of this line, but it's not an important line anymore. Nobody is paying attention to it. So when we think about the Lord coming, he was truly a root out of dry ground. There wasn't the overwhelming recognition. There wasn't the overwhelming acceptance of who he was. And then Isaiah tells us, he said he had no form of comeliness, he had no form of splendor that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Again, these are words that refer to our Lord's appearance as he hung on the cross. It was a very ugly scene. He was a pitiful figure to behold, hanging on a cross covered in blood, worn and shattered and suffering. There was no beauty for anyone to desire him. He truly was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Do you realize that there is no scripture that tells us that Jesus ever laughed? Now just think about that. I'm sure he did. When you and I read some of the parables that he wrote and some of the things he said to his disciples, you can't read them without thinking that there was a smile on his face or a chuckle in his voice, but there is no record of Jesus ever laughing. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We also must remember about Jesus that all through his childhood and even into his manhood, he was pursued by nasty comments about his birth, inferring that he was an illegitimate son, born to a woman who was faithless, who had broken her vow of betrothal. His brothers misunderstood him and did not believe in him. They were embarrassed at some of the things he said and did. It wasn't until after the resurrection that they actually believed in him. People called him a drunkard and a glutton. And they said that he was possessed by a devil. He called a Samaritan a disparaging term. He was called a Samaritan, which was a disparaging term. He had no home to go to. He himself said, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Sometimes the disciples left him to go and be about their business. But he went out to the Garden of Gethsemane all by himself to talk to the Father. At one point, he became public enemy number one. Just before his crucifixion, the Pharisees offered a reward for anyone who would turn him in. When we read the scripture that says he was rejected of men, we can see that. The Apostle John said in John chapter 1, verse 11, he said he came unto his own, and his own people received him not. As we look at the next verses, it talks about the rest of the verses, it talks about his substitutionary atonement. He says he shall be exalted, he shall be lifted up, he shall be very high. These are the events that commentators say happen after the crucifixion. He shall be exalted. Jesus was brought back from the dead, stepping into a condition of life that no one had ever entered. Lazarus had been resurrected, but back to life here on this earth. Jesus became, as Scripture tells us, the firstborn of the dead. He was exalted to a higher dimension of existence than anybody ever has been or will be. They said Isaiah says he shall be lifted up. Jesus at the Mount of Olives, while he was speaking to them, ascended into the heavens, and the clouds received him out of sight. So he was physically and literally lifted up. The scripture says he shall be lifted high. The Hebrew puts it rather graphically. He shall be lifted high, very, in the way they would put things together. And when we think about that, we cannot help but think about the passage in Philippians chapter 2 where it says, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So by his resurrection and by his ascension and by his exaltation as the Messiah, he made a tremendous impact upon humanity. We can't read a text like Isaiah 53 without being able to see that. It also tells us that many were astonished. That many were astonished at him. The word astonished, they were astonished at his death. Again, his appearance was so marred, and he didn't look like a human at all. The crown of thorns, all of these things, being impaled on a cross, his face dripping with blood. This is what the prophet sees. And he's seeing this, and he's writing about it, and he's astonished by what